Willkommen zum Story Break, einem Writers Room Podcast, where three Hollywood professionals write the entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. It's not a German podcast.
Was that German? I thought you were doing Scottish.
Scottish?
Do you think he was doing Scottish?
No, because he said Willkommen at the beginning.
My name is Freddie Wong. That over there, sitting in the corner, Matt Arnold. And that over there with the fingers of speed, Will Campos.
I got sitting in the corner.
Yeah. What do you do?
Sitting in the corner with big cone hat on.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do?
What do you do, Matt? What do you do?
I make the document.
When you're
I haven't done yet.
Well, see, there you go. I'm Freddie Wong, and this is Story Break. Welcome, everybody.
This is my podcast.
My podcast now. I'm taking over.
Two guests, Matt and Will, have joined me once again. The movie is Heaven Heist.
What kind of movie is it?
It's a heist movie about a crew of crack criminals. Not crack criminals.
Yeah, they steal crack.
A crack crew of criminals stealing from the Celestial Bank of Heaven. It's Coco meets Point Break meets What Dreams May Come meets Point Break. And
the 2017
means
Point Break.
The Point Break remake. And we're going to dive right in. I wanted to kick us off with a little bit of Chinese mythology lore that was relayed to us on the Facebook group once again by Sonny Leo, who had this to say and linked us to an article that I definitely think should come to play in our story. So we were talking about the stakes of the afterlife and reincarnation.
Yeah,
and so,
the porterhouses, the ribeyes.
So Sonny wanted to inform us that there's ways for spirits to be permanently destroyed.
Hell yes.
She wanted to say that there are many ways for spirits to be permanently destroyed in the sort of Chinese conception of the afterlife. Some kinds of fire, very strong sunlight, exorcist spells, that kind of thing. Also as a punishment for doing something abhorrent to the heavenly order. Essentially, the Chinese conception of the soul is that it comes in 10 parts. And if you lose one of these parts, it hurts you. And if they are scattered from you, from each other, you essentially cease to exist. Sounds like, kind of like a Horcrux situation.
When they say fire, do they mean fire on earth? Like if your body's burnt a certain way or fire in heaven?
I don't know. I'm just going
kind of like the idea that like that's why there's no fire in heaven because like it's just dangerous because
like you could torch someone. Yeah. She also brought up one more thing was that in the sort of Buddhist concept of reincarnation, another reason you might be reluctant to get reincarnated is you don't know what you're going to come back as.
True.
Like, you don't know what kind of life you're going to get signed up for. It could be a really shitty life. You could come back as a rock, right, and be reincarnated
butt?
For like
just
10 million years
or someone else's butt.
I don't.
Are different parts of your body? That's a real question. What is the human being? Is that your consciousness or is there your butt?
You know that the Russians believe that kind of comes from like the liver, like the sort of center of the body. I believe it comes from the buttocks.
If you guys had to come back at somebody's butt,
I think we are teetering on being disrespectful of people's actual religious beliefs. So I'm going to blow the woke whistle and move the conversation along down the line.
Fair enough.
And then she also linked us to an article for two deities up in heaven called Oxhead and Horseface. Freddie, are you familiar with Oxhead and Horseface?
Let me see.
Oxhead and Horseface are two deities that have their guardians of the realm of the dead. They have the bodies of men, but one has the face of an ox and the other has the face of a horse. Their role is to capture humans.
Is it like Ice on Greenland where the names are actually the opposite?
They're like, oh, I'm going to fight Oxhead. I don't want to fight a guy with a horse for a face. They're like, oh, shit, he's got a horse for a face. And their roles as guardians of DU, the realm of the dead, this is from Wikipedia. Their role is to capture human souls reached at the end of their earthly existence to bring them before the courts of hell. Souls are then awarded based on actions performed in their lifetime. So this is kind of more of this wouldn't be instead of the TSA agents. But they were also, Oxhead and Horseface were the messengers of the king of hell. Oxhead was also had been created by the king of hell, who took pity on the arrival of a newly dead ox who had worked hard all its life, and he made him one of his faithful.
And he got sent to hell?
No, he became he's a hell cop.
Oh, I guess.
And this is again hell DU, like the sort of overall concept of the afterlife.
Yeah. Okay.
At any rate, so to me, I was like, this could be an interesting because I feel like I definitely would like to populate this world with some deities and characters from the actual mythology. And so like the idea of like Oxhead and Horseface as these two buddy cops.
I was about to say they should be
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Our Bebop and Rocksteady,
if you
will.
They should be the head of the angel cops.
Yeah. They're like, they're working the case.
Because the idea of like they are getting chased through hell by Oxhead and Horseface is really awesome.
Or like Jin gets interrogated at one point and it's like good ox, bad horse or whatever. You know, it's like that kind of thing. Anyway, with that all, so again, just food for thought, stuff to play around with, keep it kicking around your old skull. Let's dive in?
We were coin flipped, and the thought
and
was
here
we
go.
And a lot,
when's the
lot of weird
when is
stuff.
The Joker going to show up in this movie?
So the idea was, I thought that it was going to be that he does a coin flip and then he catches it, but then he's waking up right now. So we're finally out of the realm of heaven.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes. We grandma was such a good character that she more or less did everything we needed to in heaven. And now we understand why Chin does not want to be stuck here, either meditating for eternity or stuck working for his grandma. So, yes, you get why he has no desire to go back.
I will say I pitched my wife last night the idea that when he goes to heaven, he has to deliver food for 10 million years. And she's like, that's the most depressing thing I've ever heard in my life. So I think there is something sort of like bleak about that idea that I think works.
And he doesn't even have like an Ashton Kutcher to like aspire to. Yeah. So
like we do here on Earth. You know what? Ashton's done well for himself, I gotta say.
We come into the scene. Let's fucking start the scene. All right.
He wakes up. Where is he? How do they bring him back to life? How do you bring him back to life?
Oh, I hit a thought on this, which is I think he should wake up, spit a bunch of water out of his mouth, and then what you do is you see that Tequila has two wires that are plugged into the car battery. And he jolted
car that's underwater.
Okay, so another car.
William.
He's got, to me, it's like a very much a jury-rigged defibrillator. It seems like the most hard.
Can we not do a defibrillator? That's not how defibrillators work.
But that's how movie defibrillators work.
Can we just take fucking 2 minutes and try and think of some other fun way.
Brady, how does a defibrillator work?
It corrects heart arrhythmias.
Well, including your heart now. Including your heart stopping.
Yes, right? If your heart stopped, you can juice. Look.
No, if your heart stopped and you juice it with a defibrillator, it's not going to work.
It doesn't?
What?
Can a defibrillator restart?
They don't put a defibrillator on you when your heart skips a beat. Like, hey, your heart skipped a beat.
Yes, they do.
We should pump you. Yeah, when they skip a beat.
In simplest terms, defibrillators cannot start a stopped heart. In fact, they work by stopping a heartbeat, a weird problem heart, a powerful electric shock.
Yes, exactly. In fact, an arrhythmia would be the exact fucking scenario you deploy a defibrillator, you fucking pleb.
You know what? You know what's one of the things that Fred needs to work on? He's a very bad winner.
I'm both a sore loser and a bad winner. Yeah. And what I like to call the best of both worlds.
All right. I'm Googling.
I'm just saying, can we have anything else? That's all.
All right. Wait a second. But then this is from AEDauthority.com, cardiac arrest. The only effective treatment to start a stopped heart is to deliver an electrical shock.
By a car battery.
You got to use a defibrillator.
Yeah.
I know it's a movie thing. I'm just saying there's an opportunity here to introduce something new. Or if he's trying to do the car battery, it's like, yeah, it doesn't work, you idiot. We tried shocking you with the car battery for the last 20 minutes. It wasn't doing shit.
Okay, well, then what
is... Okay, can we call... So your dad's a doctor, right?
Correct.
We've called your mom on the show. Can we call your dad and ask him how you restart a stopped heart?
Oh, my God. We're going to be here for 4 hours.
How does it happen?
Can we do it without getting an earful about your career?
About my career and also like...
How does it work in flatliners?
I mean, they're making shit up. It's a movie. I know it's a movie thing. I get it.
Okay, so but
I, so here, I guess I
you
would
said
say,
no. So what's
I'm just
your
saying.
Butt?
Let's. I'm just saying. Give me. I'm just saying. Can we? all I said was this. Can we spend 2 minutes brainstorming? Is there some fun, different thing we can do?
To that, I would say I don't know. Can we?
Well, let's go right now. Right.
So he drowned. Yeah. So yes, he
so CPR likely. You know.
So yeah, they
need to pull the water out of his lungs. Is he in like locked in a you know cool.
This is also going to imply that this is how they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go to a doctor and be like,
yeah, hey, I think you could. I don't think that you need to be like, this is the only way that they do it from
now. No, I know, but like, just like narratively, it makes sense. Like, if they've shocked him with a car battery and he woke up, then it's like, okay, then they start doing flatliner shit where they put them under. And then
yeah, but if they were giving him CPR, then you would also buy that you know, like.
In flatliners, Rachel nearly dies for good after the power goes out when the men are unable to shock her with the defibrillator. See, that's what's good about defibrillators. If the power goes out, they're fucking screwed. They fucking solved this shit. Frey's sitting here going no butt when they fucking solved half this.
All right. No. All right. It. Let's see. But okay. So yeah. So sure. All right. What could be another thing?
Pulmonary.
Kick him in the ball so fucking hard.
Smelling salts.
Look, it's going to be your heart. Salts. It's going to be your heart, your brain, or your lungs. Are going to be the three things you're going to play around with in terms of like they die and then they got to bring it back. So
oxygen to your brain, you need 6 minutes, right? Before it starts to really fuck you up. So that's like kind of like the range. I think even flatliners.
How do you kickstart somebody's brain, which is electricity?
Hot takes. They start whispering just political hot takes into his ears.
or your lungs, but like blowing into somebody's lungs is not as exciting as electrical shock.
I mean, look, if there's nothing, there's nothing. I just wanted to fucking take 2 minutes. Is that too much to
ask?
Okay,
here's what I would say. All right. So clinical death is the medical term for cessation of blood circulation and breathing, the two necessary criteria to sustain a human and many other organisms' lives. It occurs when the heart stops beating in a regular rhythm, a condition called cardiac arrest. So even when people say you are clinically dead, your heart is still beating. It's just, it stopped circulating blood, right? Stop blood circulation is historically proven irreversible in most cases. Prior to the invention of cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, defibrillation, epinephrine injection, crank kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And other treatments in the 20th century, the absence of blood circulation was considered the official definition of death.
EpiPen hit, could be that. Let's back up for 1 second. Where's he waking up? Is he waking up in the back of an ambulance? Is it a jury rig? Veterinary hospital?
So what's good about what Will was proposing, essentially implied what I told you really quickly, was like they crashed, they pulled themselves out of a river and showed up and like scrambled to some safe house or garage, and they didn't go to a hospital because they're in trouble, and they are jury rigging away to try to bring them back to life.
Yeah, that essentially is that to me, is what I was kind of going.
Yeah,
is that so? And again, I know it's technically like we don't have to always. You could have they go to the they start using epinephrine or whatever. To me, what I liked about it is essentially that it is kind of hardcore. Like it feels like like when Rambo pours gunpowder into his bullet wound to seal it off, and yes, in real life that would blow a gigantic hole in your arm. But like it kind of makes sense for the sort of like world we're playing.
I hear you.
And I don't think they can go to the hospital because they're definitely not arrested.
Yeah, so. I think, yes.
No. Yeah.
What I like about a defib situation is essentially that. It's like, it's a simple thing, especially because we don't want them to be doing some elaborate ritual or some kind of elaborate thing. Whereas it's like, you zap them with something and then it works. Like, they were probably shocked it even did work. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like I saw some
TV. They thought he was dead. Yeah. I mean, they thought he was dead.
Okay, they've cut into one of their safe houses somehow in 6 minutes or less.
I don't think they even need to be in a safe house. Okay. I think they could be pulled over under a overpass or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... Again, because part of the trippiness of it should be that like 2 minutes has passed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I think it could.
So they're still soaking wet. Everyone's soaking wet.
Yeah.
And then they electrocute them.
Then they electrocute them. And then they get side electrocuted because they're all wet. And so they all like, oh God.
I do like that it's whiskey is the one who jolts him. Mm-hmm. And then you do that whiskey is like, again, like an aspiring medical student. Like,
I can't believe that worked.
Oh, jeepers.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I just saw that on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's how you're studying?
Tequila's like, I told you it worked. He's like, I need to look this up. This shouldn't have happened.
He's like, hey, his phone charged too. So then he comes back and then it's like, holy shit, I had the craziest dream. And then they're going to, then essentially they would want to haul him away to the nearest safe house, right?
Well, the cops are after them now.
Yes, because you're still hearing sirens wailing and stuff.
And do they have
like
the money?
No.
The money is floating down the river. I think maybe he sees the money floating down the river.
Yeah, you see a few dollar bills in the river or something.
Yeah.
You see probably like Cognac or somebody's like on the shoreline grabbing a few. And it's like, we got a couple hundred bucks still.
Well, then you can cut to actually what would be a fun thing to cut to, like the next scene is you just cut on this like wet slap of like a pile of soggy bills. And that's all they have from the heist. That's all that's left over. It's like 50 lousy bucks. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Okay, so let's think about what
we get. So what's this next?
Yeah, because we're not going to do it. They're not going to run away from the cops. They're going to be like, he's alive. We got to get out of here. Sirens. We got to get out of here. Cut to there.
Well, then they go, Jin, are you cool to drive again? And then he does a second fucking car chase that ends with him wrecking. And he's back in heaven again.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So what is the actual next thing?
Well, so are they having to run away from Ms. Wonderful?
I think we have to present.
Yes, I think your next scene is the arrival.
I think that's the fun of it, is that she shows up while he's still like, again, theoretically, I know it's a little bit weird, like how long he was out, but like if they were in a safe house, I'm not saying necessarily, even if you do that, they wake up on the side of the river and they go to their safe house. It does feel like piling on the problems would be wet money. He's barely alive. He's like, okay, leave me alone. He's like, lights a cigarette. He's still coughing up water and stuff. And he's like, shit. It's like, okay, we got to figure out what we're going to do before door opens. And, you know, they're all a soggy mess. And there's like a few piles of bills. And this badass, you know, gangster comes in. It's Wonderful. And she's like, you guys fucked up big time.
That's a fun intro. It's like the moment, like the doors open, just all of a sudden they're all sitting around a table and just they all have guns against their head immediately by all of her thugs. And she's like, I can just kill you right now. So why am I not?
She feels like she's too cool to do the gun against. The gun against that thing always feels like, it feels like she's so cool. She doesn't need to.
Yeah, she's got to have like some cool old lady thing.
And when we're talking about it, she has like 17 like sex servants.
17 beautiful lovers.
Oh, it's like that movie 40 Guns, right? We watched this Samuel Fuller movie called 40 Guns. Who is it? Is it Joan Crawford?
Barbara
Stanwyck.
Stanwyck.
So Barbara Stanwyck plays this like tough, like cattle baron lady. Yeah. And she has like these 40 guns who are like her 40 studs that are like her fucking personal army. Dude, basing her on Barbara Stanwyck and 40 guns is not a bad way to go in terms of like an energy.
Yeah,
like,
I think she's definitely
old, but she's like old lady.
Yeah.
So, all right. So yes, I think, yes, the scene we're getting through today is essentially this scene where it's like, guess what? You got to fucking make this
money
back. You owe me with interest, and you have exactly
a month or a week.
One movie
to get this back.
You have one cool heist movie to get it back.
I'm gonna let you do one heist, okay?
She doesn't care how they get their money. Because again, we were talking about that. This is also where we reveal like she invested in them. Right? We were even saying
like this weird Shark Tank thing like, I need my return.
Yeah, she doesn't sit around going to freaking rob stuff herself. She doesn't need to. It's like she got the information, she knew this place could be hit. Yeah, she freaking called up
Tequila
and was like, hey, here's a place to get hit. Here's a car, here's clean tools.
Can we do a flashback in the middle of this where she's like, don't you remember when we talked about this? Don't you remember what you promised me when you pitched me this deal and you cut to Shark Tank? And it's like a bunch of mob bosses sitting in a room and like Tequila and the crew are pitching their heist. Like, it's a currency exchange. It's going to be really good to hit. We're going to get you a net return and blah, 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 blah. She's like, you've got yourself a deal.
Oh, but like, but not, okay. Not literally.
It's not actual. Not like you're seeing, what's his face? Mr. Wonderful. Well, no, Mr. Wonderful needs to be there. We did talk about that. It should be four tough ass triad gangsters. And then Mr. Wonderful being like, I'll do this heist for a royalty deal.
She's married to Mr. Wonderful. Okay. I mean, is that essentially going to be the scene? It feels like the scene is more or less, here's what it is. It feels like, I don't know if Jin literally says like, yo guys, heaven sucks. But it's like, Jin comes back. He's like, oh boy, that was wild up there. And then you see what the stakes are here, which is they've got to get this money back to this lady.
Yeah. She's like, you got 1 week to get my money back.
Yes.
It's been 1 week since you took from me all the money that you said you'd get me.
She probably had like a 50% return. So if they stole like $10 million, she was expecting like $5 million of those dollars plus the $100,000 she already put in for the investment or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, now that's an extra week. I want $10 million. Like, but what?
That's plus damages, plus XYZ. Yeah. Okay. So
I love when you have to set numbers in a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, how much? I don't know how much. Just
it's like game design.
A lot.
You know, my favorite is in Kiki's Delivery Service. Like that movie goes out of its way to deliberately never mention any amount of money because it's supposed to be timeless. Like it's this thing. So you have like it'll be like, you know, like the lady's going to pay Kiki for delivering something. And she's like, is this enough? And then she just like hands her an anonymous amount of money. And Kiki goes like, oh, that's much too much. And you're like, oh, OK, like this was too much money, but she's paying it because she's nice. But she didn't even be like, how does 50, you know, euro bucks sound or whatever? It's like,
can that be our currency?
Euro bucks.
Yenero bucks.
Well, we'll just try to do it that way. She'll look at the money on the table. She goes, this isn't enough. I need this much. And she puts her arms out. And they go, we're never going to get that much.
We need far more money than this.
I need more of a money than that.
Banks. Which bank has that much money that we need? That bank's much too small for our amount of money. I know where we can get that amount of money. Heaven.
And even more.
Even more money than we need to give her.
Than that specific amount of money.
And then we'll all have a lot of money.
We will all have enough money that we won't need to get more money for the rest of our lives.
We'll pay her and then we'll have plenty of money amongst ourselves.
We will pay her all that money that she needs and then we'll each have the enough amount of money for the money that we say that we need for our dreams. That's the amount of money that we will have. Perfect. Let's do this heist. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do the scene.
Okay.
Is that more or less the scene, though?
So there, she's going to be like, you owe us a bunch of money.
Yes.
And then what do we...
How does that end?
How does that end? Yes, that's my question. Or does it end with like, is it like, you owe us a bunch of money or I'll kill you? And then it's like, crap, what do we do now? And then does Jin like get the phone call from his family? He's like, oh, shit, I got to go to dinner.
Yeah. And he's like, we'll deal with this later. He's like, Jin, where the hell are you going? We'll figure this out. It's like,
if he gets that phone call in the middle of Ms. Wonderful being in there, that's fun.
Answer that phone, Jin. Say your mother, answer the fucking phone.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. That's fun. He's not going to answer. She's like, whose fucking phone is that? Yeah. He's like, it's mine. He's
don't
like,
worry, I'm not going to answer it.
Don't worry, I'm not going to answer it. He's like, she looks at, is that your mother? It's like, you would disrespect your own mother.
How are you supposed to? How are you supposed to respect me if you can't respect your own mother? I didn't want to disrespect. All right, I'll fucking go answer it.
I guess it's just kind of a replay of the other scene.
Yeah, I guess it's the same.
But yeah. So here's my question: what is going on for Jin in this scene?
Yes.
Is he like? How does
denial,
he feel about?
Does he think it's just a dream? Does he think it's real? I feel like he might just think it was a dream.
Is there, I mean, I will also, I'll throw this out there. Okay. I know we've been back and forth on this. A lot of our audience is sick of us hearing about, he's sick of hearing about how the fuck does the money get back.
Yeah.
You could do that. She's like, you better have a plan for how we're going to get this money, blah, 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 blah. And everyone's like, oh no, don't shoot us. And then Jin feels the back of his pocket and he sees the coin and he's like, we got a plan.
Pull your jets, babe. We'll get you your money. And everyone's like, Jin, what are you doing? There's no way we can get that money. He's like, I got a plan. Don't worry about it. And then she leaves like, okay, Jin, what's the plan? He's like, we're going to steal it from heaven. And
I don't know
just,
if he
they all, no. Wait, they're all just quiet. He's like, no, seriously. And they all just leave the room without saying anything. And they're just like, Jin's clearly gotten insane.
He wouldn't have that idea yet.
Well, we're just saying, can you make it that fast?
No, because he still needs to figure out the coin.
That's what he's saying. Is that you
but
do
in that
right
version,
here.
I would say that you would do the coin version here. Like, the coin did come back.
Oh.
And then he's got this coin.
That's a good point. Are we just, like, fucking delay? Are we just delaying? Are we just edging our viewers until we can? We're 20 pages fucking
in. The point
in.
Was, like, you essentially do, like, she goes, I'm going to need that money back. And then Takeda's like, please, there's no way we can get that amount of money.
Well, you
she's
you
like,
could
not just that amount of money. I want $10 million. I want my $100,000 back. If you don't get it to me in a week, you're all dead. And then, like, Tequila might drop to the floor. It's like, just kill me, ma'am, please. There's no way we're going to be able to get this money. Yeah. And they're all freaking out and trying to, and, like, people are pulling their guns out. And then he looks at the coin.
And he
like,
flips it to her. And he says, I can get you, how's that? And he's like, I can get you as many of those as you want. I can get you gold.
I don't think he should give her the coin because I feel like if he's, how's that? And he flips her coin, she's going to see. She's going to be like, what? Did he go to a fucking heaven amusement park and get heaven bucks? I feel like they're going to have to melt it down or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to, it's like, we'll get you money. Is gold okay? And she goes, yeah, fine.
Is it a precious metal that's worth a lot? Yeah, obviously, idiot.
So essentially, what is the conflict of that? She's like, I want very much large sum of money.
Yeah.
That, you know, we'll figure out what that is. I want more money than is reasonable for the amount of time I'm giving you. And then they're all what? They're trying to convince her to, like,
don't kill us, right?
Well, but I guess what is the, is she saying, like, tell me right now how you're going to get my money?
No, she's just like, give us this, or like, you have 1 week. And I think she's about to leave, and like, Tequila is like begging her.
He's like, please, we need more time.
Like, we need more time. Like, you know, it's on me. Like, you know, I'll work for you, whatever you need. Like,
it feels like she's got to take a pound of flesh here, though, right? Like, because if I was a crime boss and these guys fucked up, I wouldn't go in and be like, all right, here's another week. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't get a reputation.
Maybe
in
she
all those-
cuts. Maybe she cuts off.
She cuts off like someone's hand or something cool.
He reaches out and grabs her hand. He's like, please. And then she turns around and nods at one of her guys. And the guy just fucking karate chops his hand off that touched her. And she's like, nobody touches me.
With a chop? Just like,
chop. Like a super hard.
I
know,
with
hard...
a sword. Yeah, karate chop. No, with his hand.
His bare hand.
Because then you're definitely looking at that guy. And you're like, that guy.
Where's the movie about this badass?
This guy. Now I know why they call you Sword Hand. I was always curious.
Old Sword Hand McGee was able to cut off his hand.
You could do that. Someone gets their hand cut off.
I mean, the conflict is they're going to die if they don't get this money back.
I guess what is her goal? What does she want in this scene? Because all she is she coming back to just
he's gonna take all the money they have. I think.
I mean, it's Jabba the Hutt. She wants her money.
Yes,
like that's what it is.
So she's
like, at the end of the day, like she's not gonna play her cards on the table. If they came back with again, if the plan was they were gonna rob $10 million, she knew that there was $10 million of this currency exchange. She's got the insurance. She got the inside man, and she's like, go rob that. You're like, here's a bunch of money. Here's like, you know, untraceable whatever, and here's the info. You guys go rob it. Give me $5 million and you guys split the rest. And then she didn't get it. Like, yes, at the end of the day, if they come back with $2 million, like, will she take it and then, like, you know, use them for something else? Like, OK, great. I'll take your $2 million. Like, sure, maybe we don't know what her end game is, but she wants her money back. At the very least, she wants to make back her.
OK, so I guess what is the conflict in this scene, though? Because if she's like, I want my money, like, what are they going to say? I mean, like, they're going to be like, OK, we'll get you more money. Right. Like, they're not
going to. Oh, are you implying that maybe it should be like there? She's just going to kill them. And then Jin in saving, like, saves them by saying, we can get you your money. Just give us a week or something.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's the question I have right now, which is that I don't quite understand what the problem is. Because it's like, if I just fucked up and I, you know, lost all this money from this mobster, and this mobster shows up and says, I'm going to give you one more chance. Like, I'm not going to be like, come on, kill me instead. I'm going to be like, okay, give me a chance. At the very least, I'm thinking this gives me a week to get out of town before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, maybe it is that. Maybe bear with me. Maybe it is like, Tequila's like, we're so sorry. Like, you know, I will get you your $100,000 back. She's like, I don't want the $100,000. I want $5 million back. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's impossible. And she's like, you know, give us more time or whatever. And then she could be like stepping away. And then she stops. She's like, you know what? You're just so fucking old and annoying. I don't want to deal with shit anymore. Just kill them all. Like, and that's like, it could be like, you think it's going to work. And then she's just like, you know what? You guys made a huge mess. The police came after you. No, you're not worth my trouble. You guys are a problem. Like, just, hey guys, take them out. And then that's when Jen's like, wait, I can get you more than $5 million. We can get you $20 million or whatever it is. We can get you more money than the money you asked for. Mm-hmm. Just give us, you know, give us like a month. She's like, you guys have a week. And then she like steps away and they're like, Jen, what did you do?
Yeah, he buys them time in this, and he has, right. That's the fast mode, is that he has the idea.
And I feel like some of the conflict's going to be everybody else is like, I'm getting out of town. Like, that's what I'm doing in this week.
Thank you,
like,
Jen.
I'm Cognac, I'm leaving, and whatnot. And he's like, one, they're going to chase us down. Two, no way, guys. We could be richer than we could ever imagine if we do this or whatever.
Okay. Let me wrap my head around it. So she comes in. She's like, where's my fucking money? And they're like, we lost it all. He's like, I know. I watched on TV. And then she's like, all right, yeah, you have. So she's telling them that she wants double her money back in a week.
Yeah.
Right. And then you would do. Why is Tequila objecting to that? What is he trying to accomplish by being like, no?
Again, I think
he says we need more time.
Again, it's not to get granted. She gave them $100,000 to rob a place. That's what he was kind of expecting. She's like, I didn't give you $100,000. I gave you the possibility of me getting $5 million, and you rejected that. So you owe me $5 million. And that's what he's responding to. He knows that's impossible. He's not going to be able to get her
$5
million.
And it's because he's like, our faces are all over town. We got to lay low. Like, it's impossible for us to go.
Yeah, we can't be making.
And they were lucky. They had
pulling scores now.
Yeah, they had a big info. And again, this was like a one.
It took forever to put this job together.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, I can't just get you $5 million. It's impossible. Like, I don't have that much. So he's begging.
And then she says, okay, you know what? You convinced me. You can't. So I'm going to kill you. And then
he's trying to come up with other things. Like, we'll work for you. Like, how about, you know, what else do you need? Like, you know, Jen's a great driver.
Dishes?
You know, I have $100,000. I can give you that. I can pay you that much back. Like, he's trying to come up with something.
He's trying to negotiate with her. And then she says, you know what? You can't. You're right. You can never, like, you know, it's like, it'd be better if I get my money's worth if I just fucking send a message to the rest of my guys about failure by executing you.
Yes.
I get more of a return on that. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to kill you. Right.
Yes.
And then they're all about to die. And then Jin's looking at this coin and she's like, see you at the gates of hell. And he goes, whoa. He's like, I can get you the money.
Yeah. And Jin's essentially like, guys, don't be scared about dying. There is a heaven. They all go look at him. They're like, what? It's like, it kind of sucks. My grandma's up there. Anyways, I won't get into it. And I don't know why I brought that up. Anyways, we'll get you lots of money. And she's like, what?
Is there. So, okay. So then I'm a little lost on why she believes him. The mob. How does he convince the mob boss? Right. Because especially if you're about to die, she's got to figure that you'd say anything at that point to.
Well, you have to give her something.
You have to give her something that you're like that you're intrigued by.
If the coin is solid gold.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring that sense of heaven
or whatnot. And you could say that she has like one of the guy, right? One of her,
they
40 guns, bites it, and it's like, ow,
this tastes like gold. This is exactly
gold. Ow, why did I bite this gold?
Well, it's because, I don't know, it's the whole, you think
no,
it's
I know.
A chocolate coin thing.
No, it's not, because gold is, you can
malleable.
Bite. Yeah, you can bite
because
gold.
You can bite it.
Oh my God, this entire time.
You didn't know that?
No, I always thought about those, you know, like, it's actually like, you get like, they give them out at Hanukkah, but like those little gold wrapped coins that have chocolate in them. When I was a little kid, I always assumed they bit the gold to make sure it wasn't one of those chocolate candy coins instead. And literally my entire life up until this moment,
whoa!
I thought that's what it was. Like, I better make sure that's not a fake chocolate gold coin. And the only way to do that is bite it.
It's gold is one of the only metals you can bite and leave an indent on with your teeth.
Yeah.
It is. So if there's like silver.
And if that
plated
indent
in gold,
turns out to be chocolate, then you know it's not real gold.
Win-win, baby.
Wow. So at least there I'd be like, he got this fucking gold coin.
Yeah, and like,
he's
a
like,
gold coin that big would still be
big fatty gold coin. Let's take
be worth a decent amount of money.
Yeah, so he flips it to her. He's like, I got a line on a bank job no one's ever even heard of. I can get you fucking a stack of those things as high as, you know,
and
blah, blah, blah,
she could call his bluff or whatever. And he's like,
go ahead.
He's like, go ahead and look. I'm going to be honest. I was fucking cutting all these guys out of the deal. I wasn't going to tell you about it. This was my exit plan, but you know, I'd rather not
I'd rather
die.
Leave my head, yeah.
Looks like I'm stuck with this crew and I'm stuck with you as my boss. So, you know, you're going to let us live and do you want to score?
And
this?
Is there like a, he's like, if we don't deliver, you will do blank, and that's even worse than whatever.
I mean, I think for her, it's like the thing. It's like, okay, if you don't pay up, like, I mean, there's really nothing worse than death. In terms of, like, it's like, I'll torture you more. It's like, okay, I mean, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I think it's like, all right, like, you have a week. And then and he asks, like, give me a month or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, you have a week. Mm-hmm. And they're like, shit. And they're like, Jin, what's the plan?
Okay, Jin, you talked pretty good. What's the plan?
Like, you were going to cut us out of a deal. Mm-hmm. You had a whole gold heist plan. And he didn't tell us about it. He's like, I just came up with it now. It's like, when? Like the last 5 minutes. When you were knocked out? Yeah, it's going to sound crazy, guys.
We need to talk to my brother or something.
But yeah, we're going
to
rob.
We're going to steal. No, you got like, we're going to steal from the Bank of Heaven. Yeah, and then it just cuts one. To them all running out, yeah. Just walking around. Like, fuck it. All right, I'm going. I'll see you later.
Yeah, they're all talking about how they're
where are you going to flee to? Macau? Macau. In Russia? Like, no, Macau's too close. I got my travel agent trying to book me something right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because then the next scene's going to be the cool ass, like, tequila and him, like, drinking at a bar. You know, the, like, tequila, you gotta believe me, man. Like, they're like the mentor and apprentice, like, sort of like come to Jesus moment where they like talk to each other, like, just trust me.
We gotta figure out how he convinces.
Yeah, but that's for future us. Mm-hmm. This gets us.
By the way, biting it is actually not because you can leave it.
It's because it tastes chocolate.
Because it tastes like delicious chocolate. No, it's because gold coins had gold plated lead coins in the 19th century, and lead, you will see it. So if you bite it, you'll get. If you see an indent, it actually means that there's lead in it.
Oh, is that a fake coin?
Yeah.
Oh.
You could conceivably get a coin that's worth like 10 grand.
Okay.
Like a big, thick coin.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there. Because I'm looking at like a 1 ounce gold coin. And
well, how much is gold per ounce?
It's about $1,400 an ounce.
Okay.
And I'm looking at a 1 ounce gold eagle coin. That's about like this big. It looks like a half dollar size, more or less. So you could
one ounce.
Yeah. So you figure you can get like one that is at least will make her be like, all right, there's more where that came from, sort of amount.
I will, last thing, just to touch back on this. Is this better if you just end this with a despair moment and then we play like a genuine what is Jin going to do? And then Jin thinks he's gonna have to run and flee.
I just feel like that the audience is ahead of you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you've seen enough where you're like, cool, I'm seeing this money, I'm seeing this wealth. The movie's fucking called Heaven Heist. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a certain degree of, like, you want to hold off on just the meat of your shit.
Because it's about what is the despair moment. Because the despair moment is like, what are they going to do? You're like, I know what they're going to do. It's called Heaven Heist. So they're going to steal all of it. The despair moment, I feel like, is actually nobody believes him and the team doesn't trust him.
Yeah, because he's a loner, like, and they're like, yeah, why should we
fucking trust
you?
So he comes to this
plan.
So, like, his solution is he's going to have to run. So, like, again, if they all say no, it could be like he goes to have dinner with his family.
He's going
to
say goodbye.
And then tequila shows up or something.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, Jin, let's talk. It's like, what the hell happened to you back there or whatever. But yes, I think that's the despair. It's like, nobody trusts him. And like, yes, he is going to have to fucking run or whatever.
Okay, so yes, essentially. Then you do. There's this dinner scene where he's essentially saying goodbye to his family.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like all right, we'll dig into that later. It feels like you want that emotional moment where we get like, you know, a bit. Because again, like, we've been talking about this boat he wants to buy and like he's going to be out on the ocean by himself or whatever. Like, I want to see some kind of expression of that. That's obviously not right now. And I think you're right that he bluffs his way through it by flipping. Okay. All right. We're good.
You could also really quick. If you just wanted a little bit of increase, I don't know if this is too much. You could do, she goes, fine. You guys have a week, not a month. And he goes, okay, we'll do it. And she leans over and she's like, if you guys don't do it. Yeah. You're going to kill us.
I'm going to kill your family.
I'm going to kill your little monk brother of yours. And that mom of yours. I don't really know what she does. I don't have an adjective for her. So just your mom.
Yeah.
Kill your brother and your mom. He goes, oh, man. And then when he has dinner, it would be fun just over that weight when, like, he has dinner.
He's like, I stuck their necks on the line, too. So
it's like, because if he has to run, he's going to have to figure out how to get them to run, too.
I don't know if you want to play her torturing or killing the family yet.
Yeah, I feel like
that feels like maybe. Yeah, it feels like you're kind of not leaving yourself any room there.
Yeah.
And then essentially, okay, here's what it would be. Just looking down the scenes, it would be essentially, he's like, we're going to steal money from heaven itself, right? Because he tells them he went to heaven, he met his grandma, they have gold, that's where I got that gold coin, I flipped to her, I can't show it to you now because I gave it to her.
And Tequila's like, look, if you don't want to tell me where he got the gold, that's fine, asshole. He walks away. I kind of like, he's gone insane. I'm leaving.
So, yeah. So, but essentially what I would do is, yeah, everyone's like, I'm running away, right? Yeah. And so now Jin's question is like, am I going to run away too?
Yes.
Right? And then you have that moment where he's got to commit to the score, where it's got to be, he's like, no, this is a way for me to make more money than I ever, I can set myself up for life. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And like, this is like, and that's essentially that. And then he has to make the case to them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. What it will be is, okay, yes, this is fun. Just thinking ahead. It'd be something like, actually, he goes to whiskey or something. Because, mm-hmm. Again, he's the
nice
gullible one, a nice one. Mm-hmm. And yes, he's going to be a medical student. So he's like, whiskey, you got to trust me. And I feel like they have a moment where whiskey convinces them to all come over for, like, you know, goodbye snacks or some shit. And they get there and, like, Jin is trapped. He's like, Just give me 5 minutes to convince you guys or whatever. And they're like, all right, you ready, whiskey? And then he like kills him. And like, what the hell's going on? He's like, just wait. And then, yes, he goes in heaven. He sneaks through. He's like, hey, nice to see you.
You know what it is? It's got to be he needs to
get. And when he
comes
back, he pulls a coin out. They're like, what the fuck?
Or he gets an tequila. Like, right, you just paint the biggest skeptic in the group. And you're like, I talked to your grandma. She says blank or something, right? Like, get some piece of information from the afterlife or something. I don't know. It's just something like that.
I think essentially your next sequence after this is him. There's going to be this debate, this sort of stasis equals death debate moment about, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to run away? Am I going to hide? Am I going to whatever? And he's like, no, I'm going to go all in. I want to get that. I want to set myself up for life. I don't want to be a loser begging for money like my brother.
Yes.
Right. You know, it's like, I'm going to have to, you know, go, you know, wander the earth or whatever.
And it's because he's doing this because it's not just a matter of, I'm not doing this shit just so that we can pay her off.
Yeah.
We're going to pay her off and we're all going to walk away with $100 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to need that money in heaven. You know what I mean? Like, when we do die, we're going to need that money because you don't want to be sitting around like a loser. All right. So, okay. All right. I like that. And so that's essentially, but that's, we can deal with that in the future.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the scene. So let's dive in. Need to change the end of the last scene because in the last scene, Jin flips the coin and snatches and stuffs in his pocket. It's not like a great cut.
No.
So I feel like it should be like he flips the coin, like sticks his shirt pocket out and then like, or like his coat pocket and it lands in his coat.
And it's
pocket.
Like slow motion coin rotating. His eyes go wide. Screen flashes white.
And then, yes. Okay. All right. He flips the coin in the air, sticks out his pocket. What's the what?
Ocket, like pocket. Like what's
what? What?
I was just thinking, what's
all
that?
Right, let's hold on. Well, hold on. Give him a second.
I can't think of the not epitomology. What the
etymology?
Etymology of socket. Because I was just thinking socket, pocket, locket. They're all like things that hold things. So I'm wondering
so if ocket a thing?
Is ocket a thing?
I don't know.
Like a socket is like a thing that holds something, like it goes into it.
Sock, as in the old French plowshare.
And then
socket, head of a spear representing a plowshare. Pocket is poke, as in pouch in the Anglo-Norman French, becoming bag and sack. And then locket is old French lock. Locket, lock, late Middle English. There's not really.
I think a locket is like it's a spoonerism where it's a pocket you can lock.
Oh, anyways, I just realized that all those things all
all have that ocket.
And they all have that ocket. They all like hold a thing. Anyways,
I'm Matt Arnold.
Frey, thanks for that lesson. Anyways, back to it.
We learned nothing. Okay. All right. He flips the coin in the air, then.
And what's on the docket? It's like a place to hold.
An agenda.
Anyways, I'm just saying. All right.
And a rocket is a ship, is a pocket that carries astronauts in. It's a flying pocket full of people, a rocket.
See? All right. I think we're onto something.
All right.
That's a fun word game, everybody.
Oh, okay. Man. All right. As the gold coin falls in his pocket, we cut to exterior. Oh, interior, exterior, overpass. Where do we land on that? Exterior overpass, right?
Oh, where they are?
Yes.
Well, should it be their safe house if, like, she shows up there?
No, how long has he been dead?
Not for very long. I know it's like a...
I think you can do... They cut to... Again, what we had been talking about is that they jolt him up awake and they're like under an overpass, right?
Sirens, we gotta get out of here.
We gotta get out of here, okay, you know? Yeah, and then he sees the money trailing down the river and then we cut to like this wet stack of cash flopping onto the table. Yes, like, this is all we got.
Yes, that's good. And that's the scene for the week.
And that's the scene. And we're done. That's what you...
We're getting two scenes this week.
It's really, it's an embarrassment of riches this week on Story Break. Okay. This is why writing is the worst, is that I just like when you have to finally sit down and do it. Like you literally just, I just had this thought. I was like, what if I just don't? What if I just quit and just do something else with my life? Like that's how bad you don't want to do it.
Like,
when it's time to sit down.
Idea already.
Like I did the hard part. Like it could be good. I know that if I did the work, it would be good. So like, didn't I do it? Isn't the only difference just the application of the effort I know I can do? Yep. Like I came up with the thing.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
I know he's going to read it. So.
The idea is the hardest part. It's the most important part. The rest of it's just sweat. You know, it's just labor. I don't want to do it.
Well, let's go hire somebody to labor.
No, I don't. But I don't want someone else to get credit for doing it either.
Oh, we won't credit them or pay them. Well, now you're getting it. You finally.
There we go.
Like, my God.
Story Break internship opportunity available for someone to transcribe our idea into a script for no money and no pay and no credit. Okay, all right, exterior.
We've been asked to do that before.
Boy, oh boy, could we tell you some stories, Story Break listeners.
Only if we never wanted to work again.
All right, we cut to exterior overpass day. We're at overpass, right?
Like he wakes up.
Okay, we cut to...
he's probably shat himself. I'm just saying, right? Freddie?
No, I don't.
Medical student.
Depends if he has poop in his butt. As you know, when you die, the poop comes out of your butt.
As you know, 007.
As you know, 007, when a human being dies, the poop comes out of your butt. But if your butt is empty of poop, there is no poop that in fact comes
How
out.
How long does
he
it...
He ate an orange right beforehand, that's all I'm saying. Oh, but no, it takes like 18 hours to digest. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm also like, does...
Is he a good eater? How healthy is just colon? What's going on down there with Jen?
I hate both of you.
This happens.
This podcast.
Will took my computer
and myself in this order.
Will took my computer, so I don't even have Reddit to
fucking browse.
To browse
your
while,
fucking board game Reddit while, to look at while I write the screenplay.
While Will's writing, so now I gotta amuse myself in a different way, which is just try and get Will to laugh. Right. Begrudgingly laugh.
I don't know how long it takes for your butthole to declench after you die. I think.
Okay, we could ignore that.
All right. If you could find a good way to integrate the fact that he dookied himself into the script, I am not against it.
It'll be a directing thing. It'll just be subtly when you cut to them putting the sloppy paper on the table in the background, you'll see Jen is changing his pants. That's all. It'll just be very subtle.
And so there's a squishy sound when they pick him up.
Yeah.
And they're like, ew. Okay.
It's like, don't worry. It's just the money I shat on.
We did this with Dimension 404, where I realized that every episode of Dimension 404 at one point either had someone like vomiting, mm-hmm. shitting themselves, or pissing their pants. Mm-hmm. Like at some point in every single one of those scripts.
It's because it's true human nature.
Yeah, it's just people don't barf themselves enough.
People don't barf themselves enough or eat. Like those are
things. If you were a guy and you were in an action movie in real life and you killed someone for the first time, something's coming out of you. Yeah. God.
Okay.
Overpass day. All right, we got to.
And what comes out of you is definitely like kind of explains your character, right? Like vomit.
Yeah,
like vomit is like, true. Oh, this guy didn't know what was up. Poop
unprepared.
Is like, this guy's terrified. Pee is like, he's just lazy for a little bathroom. And then, you know, that other...
That's what that means.
And then, you know...
He's lazy.
And then, you know, the dirty liquid, the devil's juice. If that comes out, that means you're a serial killer. That means you're a serial killer.
I don't think I've ever heard of that particular fluid referred to as the devil's liquid. Oh, the devil's liquid.
Okay,
that.
Sorry.
Oh no.
Okay.
You guys are getting that loose writer's room feel today.
Yeah. All right.
He blew his sin juice all over the inside.
Okay. Okay.
Do you guys think that like Shakespeare talked about ding dongs and stuff when he was?
Yes, he invented shit.
No, yeah. But I mean like when he was goofing around on Romeo and Juliet.
Absolutely. You think he just came up with limp fish on the first try? He was like, yo, how do we describe our dongle when we, you know, after we've done it, like, and our dick's like that, like, what should we call it? And he's like riffing left and right on that thing. And then he's like, limp fish is definitely the funniest.
And that's, he actually, you know, Shakespeare coined a lot of things like Limp Bizkit.
Early addiction of Shakespeare's plays off sometimes revealed ignored or censored slang. Actually, there was quite a bit that he was in there.
Yeah, he said it a lot. His plays are dirty.
Dirty. Okay.
All right. Exterior overpass day is what we have so far.
Your date is better in your pie and your porridge than your cheek and your virginity. Your old virginity is like one of our French withered pears. It looks ill and eats dryly.
That's gross on so many levels.
Yeah, yeah, that's really, there. Yeah, there's a lot
going on.
That's
like the original
on.
Peach, I could eat a peach for hours, basically.
yeah. I mean,
all right,
come on.
All right. I don't want to finish this episode. Let's do it.
You're not acting like it.
I'll put it that way. I'm sorry.
All right, so Jin wakes up. I got the goofs now. Yeah. I got the giggles. This is going to be a giggle one. All right. Snaps back to consciousness.
Did they just like rob somebody else's car? That's what you could do. Somebody is hot wiring. They've like, Cognac has hot wired a car that's like parked next to the wherever they came out of.
And that's what they're using. That's what they're using. Cables. They found jumper cables in the back.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So this is crazy. The cars next to them probably have their windows blown open because they like smash windows.
Consciousness. Oh, wait. So I'm just trying to describe this. Okay. Jin's soaking wet. Snaps back to. So it's like that first is, whoa, right? And it's like his shirt's ripped open. And then you would probably do the whole gang is there and he's got the fucking jumper cable. Yeah. So we see what just happened. Okay. Jin's soaking wet. Snoke.
What's supreme identity?
Jin, supreme leader, Snoking wet. Remember that like interminable 10 episode run of Story Break where anytime Matt tried to say Snoke, he said Snopes. I think it was just that one Star Wars episode. Yeah, he's like, what about Snopes. Snopes is the... All right.
Okay.
How much time do you think we spend making fun of Matt's actual speech impediment and how bad should we feel?
What is your speech impediment?
A lot, and you shouldn't feel bad at all, huh?
What is it?
I don't know. I just have one. I couldn't speak when I was a kid.
It
definitely is probably some slight version of like dyslexia.
Oh, interesting.
Because I definitely reverse numbers and letters a lot.
Okay.
But I think when I speak, I just like...
It makes leet speak really hard.
Yeah, leet speak is my natural language is what it is.
This is what leet speak sounds like. You might not like it. This is what leet performance speaks like. All right. Jin doubles over, coughing up water. Okay, just snaps back to consciousness.
Jin snaps back to reality.
Looks up at tequila. Sighing with relief over him.
Holy shit, we thought you were dead.
Holding a pair of jumper cables. Should we like get the spark? I mean, like he definitely gonna wake right up, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, surrounding him stands the crew gasping with relief. Tequila holds a pair of jumper cables.
Maybe they're just like clamped to his nipples and the way they're doing it is actually on the battery side of things is where they're turning it on and off. So that way you understand that.
It's not working. Whiskey, rev the engine.
That's kind of fun.
That's horrible. That would hurt so bad.
I guess
they don't need to be clamped. Hot. I guess they could just be touching his chest. Rev the engine. No, I'm alive.
Tequila standing over him with a pair of smoking jumper cables, tequila sized with relief.
Brandy can be like, holy shit, it worked.
Then you see the guy, someone sticking their head out of the car.
Yeah, holy shit. Did it work?
Did it work? It worked.
Did he poop his pants?
Jin
don't poop.
I have nothing to add to that. That's what he says.
Whiskey. That's like the iconic line that like Patrick Swayze says.
That's the trailer.
Pain don't hurt.
Jin don't poop.
Whiskey. Poop his pants.
Did he poop his pants?
Jin,
are you?
No.
Smell his butt.
Not yet. And he winks, and they go, ew.
All right. Tequila's like, it worked. And then to Jin, like, you lucky bastard, right? And then, you know, like, pulls him up. And then Jin, like, winces as he's like, oh. Yeah.
And then sirens. And then somebody's like, hugs and kisses later, boys.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. And then I'm. Helps him. You
where's the
bit.
Money?
Where's the money? Yeah.
Where's the
money? What happened to the money?
Then they can point and there's just money. And then, yes, I think there's just money flowing down the river and Brant, Cognac is scooping up as much as they can. And then sirens.
Should Jin have a line that's a little bit more like Like, he just saw heaven? Like, is he, like...
I'll do that before they pick him up. I think, like, holy shit, it worked. And he'd be like, what happened? What would he say? I saw heaven. He'd be like...
I think just Jin is dead. I think it's just a beat
of him. How about he looks around grandma? He could be like that. He's, like, out of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tequila lifts Jin up to his feet and helps him over towards the car. Coughs up a lot. Okay. And then, yes, he's like, what happened? Should be what happened to the money or should be what happened?
I like, where's the money?
Yeah, what happened to the money? Cognac.
Cognac's like, you dumped it in the fucking ocean.
Yeah, pissed. That's good. Yeah. You dumped it in the ocean, the fucking ocean. What's like a sassy, like...
Angry.
Like a name calling that you can do.
Yeah, fucking ocean, yeah.
Yeah, you boob.
You limp dick piece of shit.
I meant like a driver kind of thing. Like what's like a, yeah, like yeah, Mr. Drunk. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
You dumped it in the entire ocean, comma, Mr. Magoo. Wow. I like it.
Fucked us 10 ways from Sunday, Mr. Magoo.
You dicked us real good.
You dumped us in the...
You boned this one up, you dingbat.
All right. You dumped it in the fucking ocean.
Ocean.
Stupid.
Stupid. Flipper, the dolphin. What do you love ocean water so much?
Well, you like ocean so much, you're just a dumb salmon fish.
All right.
You trout head. You shark butt. You drove the car in the ocean, you old man salmon tooth.
You peaked that trout head.
Okay, good. All right. You dumped it in the fucking ocean.
I'm pretty sure this is the only scene we're writing today.
You halibut cock.
Okay.
What happened to the money? You dumped it in the fucking ocean, idiot.
That's one of those lines that the actor will come up with something really good. And they'll be like, he'll so improvise. It's like, oh, we got you 90% of the way there. Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, the pain is real. All right.
Anyways,
okay. Jin, you okay, man? That was crazy. Jin gives Whiskey a weak thumbs up.
Yeah.
Jin.
We gotta get out of here.
Maybe Brandy's got, maybe they're like one of those scenic overlooks with like the little, you put the coin in the, do you know what I mean? And then she's using that just, she sees the cops closing in on them.
I mean, I feel like she could hear sirens and have a shock and now she's like looking nervously down. So I don't know, she's like literally looking at a binocular.
Because I was like, well, why, what, how is she the lookout? She doesn't have binoculars. And then I was like, oh, wait, maybe she's got like one of those little cool, sure, like, look across the bay.
She could be doing that, I guess. I mean, I guess if they're like driving around the bay and they're on the other side of the ocean and they're like crossing a bridge.
Yeah, she sees them coming across
a bridge. Okay. I buy it.
Whiskey.
And when she leaves, she's like, all right, kid, you can have it back. And she goes, like, obviously, she didn't have a corner to put it in there. Some kid was using it, and she just pushed him aside. No, it's fine. Okay.
She's got a little string for the quarter, and she pulls it out. She's like, I'm nice. A criminal. I don't pay for my scenic overlooks.
That's how you show. That's the fastest way. A little screenwriting tip. If you want to show somebody is a criminal or just a cool dude.
Through a scenic over... What do they call those things?
Quarter things?
Scenic view...
I think they call her a quarter looker.
Quarter looker?
A quarter looker, huh?
What are they fucking called? Tower viewer? Tower viewer is a telescope or binoculars.
Scenic viewfinder,
okay. Brandy, peering through a scenic viewfinder, watches a line of cop cars racing towards them from across the bay. Brandy! So Brandy's like, we got company.
5-0, Popo on its way.
Let's haul ass.
All
let's go and out of the scene.
Let's go.
Copperino's en route.
Closing
that's
in.
That's line.
Copperino's en route. Copperino's.
I'm not saying I like her character, but she definitely has one now.
Copperino's en
she's
route.
Somebody who says Copperino's.
Copperino's en route. Let's motor.
That's a motor. Okay, sure. I hate her now, but that's her line.
She's just a 40-year-old dad now. Copperoonies en route. Let's skedaddle.
You guys ready to rock and roll? Woo! I guess I'll let anyone in.
She grabs her shotgun from a 5-year-old boy
who's looking down
and
the barrel.
Says, you can have this back now.
That's very good. I like that she gave him a shotgun.
Would she have given them her shotgun?
I mean, not realistically in a comedy. Is it funny?
So she's like, hold this. And then she goes, yeah, okay.
It's funny.
She grabs her shotgun back from.
You put in the audience test. cut and see if people laugh.
Yeah. All right, she grabs a shotgun back from an awestruck American tourist family standing next to the scenic viewfinder. All yours. Welcome to Hong Kong. Thanks for holding this. Thanks for...
I do feel like the funniest version is just this kid is holding a shotgun and she goes, you can have this back. And then she goes, thanks.
Okay, yeah, yeah. This back. That's fair enough. Like from creepy. An awestruck toddler. No, I guess not toddler. No, an awestruck, like 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Jin, still rattled, glances back out at the bay and sees the... she sees the money trickling out.
Yeah,
and sees along. The loose... bills floating on the water.
And amongst it, the head of the old lady. That's pretty gnarly when you turn straight into the old lady.
She rushes over the car. The gang climbs in. Jin still rattled, glances back out at the bay and sees the loose bills floating on the water. Whiskey stomps the gas and the gang drives off. End scene.
All right. Yeah, next week
and
we'll
do... another one.
Yeah, that's enough for this episode. Next week we'll do the Miss Wonderful.
We were very
up.
Dirty in this episode.
This was a silly episode.
Yeah, we need a break from all the hard work we were doing in the previous episodes.
We had dirty boys.
All right, should we? Okay. All right. Well, so that's the scene. How do you guys feel about it?
It was good. Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's snappy. It gets a point across, man.
Got some good jokes in it. It's cool. You know, he comes back from the dead. Is it the scene people are going to talk about? Like when they see the movie? Like, no. If they rank the scenes, is it at the top? Definitely not. Is that at the bottom? Maybe. But like, it does its job.
All right. Yeah. Yes. I like the money being gone. I like the, it feels like there might be, I feel like there's something else we can, I feel like this last look from Jin, like rather than just him looking at the money, which kind of implies, oh man, shit. Like I lost the money. What's a last image for Jin that can kind of evoke that the heaven thing is still on his mind?
Across the
sunlight glitters across the bay and he sees the face of his grandma. What the fuck? Where'd you go?
The water. It's
it's the reflection of the city.
The reflection of a church. It is.
The fuck are you talking?
What do you mean? It's just church across the river. And then he's looking
river?
At the water.
What river?
Or it's the bay. Whatever. There's a reflection. He's like watching the money. And then what's that in the reflection? It's a church and the church bells ring and he stares up at it and he's like, ooh,
the bay is so huge. It's like, where would this? Yeah.
Could you do like, I know in.
It's a church on a boat.
Could you boat church? Could you do like, is there something in this car they stole? Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, like prayer beads or
like
something.
Like prayer beads or like a
yeah, he gets in and then when he's
something hanging down, or like something on the.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. He sits down in the car and then as the engine revs and he's kind of like, you know, he can look out the window and see the money or whatever. But yes, I like him kind of glancing at like, yes, prayer beads or something.
Okay. Yeah.
And off in the distance you hear Ashton Kutcher's face. I want to sit on it. Hello, Graham.
Oh, he sees Ashton Kutcher, like an ad for Ashton Kutcher. He's like,
oh my God, actually, yeah.
That's like funnier. He like literally
like an ad
sees,
for
like
Ashton Kutcher cologne.
Like, yeah, he's like holding like a cigarette, like a thing of whiskey or something. And like it's in one of those like Hong Kong
and
ads.
And it says it makes you smell like $1 million.
And it's just like a face worth sitting on.
Okay. Yes, that's very good. Okay, like
yeah, it's like it's Ashton.
Ashton Kutcher
like stares back at them on the billboard.
Just the piercing eyes of Ashton Kutcher on a billboard advertising.
It's food and it says tastes like heaven.
Tastes like heaven. Yes,
he's eating a.
Yo, it's like a scotch. It's like a sip of heaven.
Yeah, a sip of heaven.
A taste of heaven. Because he got a little taste of heaven. Yeah. Oh my God!
It shouldn't be a scotch. It should be a big sloppy burrito.
it's an Ashton Kutcher Hong Kong Chipotle ad. That's Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher advertising burritos in Hong Kong.
Truly a multinational movie.
Burritos about the taste of heaven. Just,
but it's like the Lost in Translation Suntory ad, but instead of like a sophisticated scotch, it's just got like a
fatty foil wrap burrito.
He's already taken a bite out of it. There's like guac falling out of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because it tastes of heaven.
All right. I was like, this scene's kind of bullshit. I don't feel good about this being the whole scene, but now I feel 100% rock and roll.
Oh, I love it.
So here's what I could see then is that what you do is it's like he's back in the car and then Tequila Godzilla offers him a cigarette, and then he takes it, and then he sees the Ashton Kutcher billboard, and then he just throws the cigarette out the window.
And then it hits a cop, and he goes, oh, no.
It blinds a cop. Wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm blind. Blimey, it's right in my eyeball.
I was trying to sleep here in the gutter.
I'm an orphan cop. Guys, whoa, orphan cop.
Orphan cop. He has to find out who killed his parents.
No, he only hunts orphans. I'm orphan cop. I solve crimes where the criminal is an orphan. How do you know until you solve the crime if the criminal is an orphan?
Did you know that 99% of crimes are committed by orphans? Like, no, orphan cop, you just are racist against orphans.
Did you know that orphans commit a disproportionate amount of crimes? It's because they didn't have families to grow up in the criminal justice system. There are cops and there are orphans.
Okay. All right. Good riffs, guys. Good riffs. Okay.
This is probably the most genuine one of Writer's Room is like of all the episodes.
Gang climbs in. Ashton Kutcher lounging in an elegant dining room. Lounging by an elegant fireplace.
Sloppy boy burrito.
Holding a big sloppy burrito.
It's important that in the other hand, he has a spoon with guac on it. It's like, what? How does he eat a burrito? It's like, just the most bizarre image. Like, what is he doing?
He's got a burrito and a spoon with guac.
It just makes me think. It's like, what is he doing?
Holy, a big sloppy burrito.
The sloppy boy.
And a spoon of guacamole.
He likes a spoonful of guac with every bite. Like, he's not.
Okay, a big sloppy burrito and a spoonful of guacamole.
Guys, we're getting Chipotle after this, right? I'm so hungry for a burrito right now.
We got it. You can't podcast while you're hungry. You gotta be careful.
I feel like this episode is where the format came into its own. I feel like this is the real beginning of this season of Story Break. this is where we've
been unnerved. Throws the cigarette out the window. Okay, all right, that's very good.
All right.
Good.
Good.
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, clean up some typos. And when we come back, scene 8.
We're going to take a quick break, clean up some typos, call Ashton Kutcher's agent, set up a meeting.
Let him know what's
up. Ashton, we got the role of a lifetime, baby. When we come back, scene 8 of Heaven Heist.
Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
Grandma hops on her moped and guns the engine. Jin looks at the monks, then back to his grandma, then lets out a long, weary sigh. He flips the coin in the air and opens his shirt pocket beneath it. But right as the gold coin falls into his pocket, we cut to exterior overpass day. Jin, soaking wet, snaps awake under a dingy overpass next to Kowloon Bay. He looks down at his open shirt, then up at Tequila, standing over him with a pair of smoking jumper cables. Tequila sighs with relief. Behind Tequila, Whiskey sticks his head out of the window of a hot-wired car. The jumper cables snake from the opened hood to Tequila's hands.
Did it work?
It worked, you lucky bastard.
Jin, still dazed, coughs up a lungful of water. Tequila lifts him to his feet and helps him over towards the car.
What happened to the money?
Cognac, busy fishing loose bills out of the bay, glowers at Jin as she stuffs a wad of wet currency into her pockets.
You dumped it into the fucking ocean, idiot! Hey, Jin, are you okay, man? That was crazy.
Jin gives Whiskey a shaky thumbs up as Tequila puts him in the car. In the distance, the wailing howl of police sirens draws near. Brandy, peering through a scenic viewfinder, watches a line of cop cars racing towards them from across the bay.
Copperino's en route, let's murder!
She grabs her shotgun back from an awestruck six-year-old standing next to the viewfinder.
Thanks, you can have this back now.
She rushes over to the car. The gang climbs in. Tequila offers a cigarette to a rattled Jin, still getting his bearings. He takes the cig and glances out the window. A billboard catches his eye. It's Ashton Kutcher lounging by a sumptuous fireplace, holding a big sloppy burrito and a spoonful of guacamole. The text beneath him reads in an elegant cursive font, "A taste of heaven." Jin, unnerved, throws the cigarette out the window. Whiskey stomps the gas and the gang drives off.
The end.
Pretty good.
The Ashton.
That was pretty good.
Now that's cinema, baby.
Crikey.
Crikey, it was an Ashton Kutcher cameo all along. I love it when we have unwittingly planted our jokes, like the seeds for our jokes, without us even realizing that.
Oh,
we,
yeah.
You know, they say that true comedy is when we stand in the shade of trees that we will never know.
I mean, when people...
when old idiots plant jokes.
When old idiots plant
right
jokes.
Punchline for jokes they'll for punchlines they'll never hear.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, definitely when you heard that episode of Story Break, who would have thought that the final version of this movie would have so much Ashton Kutcher in it?
Well, you know,
I feel like we also figured out what the design for next year's Max Fun Pin is.
Oh, shit. That's very
it's just
good.
Ashton Kutcher's face and a burrito, God. And it says a taste of heaven.
That's
oh,
really
my God.
Good.
Oh, man. We'll work on that one. Speaking of designs and art, Will.
Fnart.
We got two pretty good pieces. Whoa,
pretty
wait,
good.
Let me back
up that truck.
We got two very good pieces of Fnart this week. Thanks to Nikki at Penicillin for tweeting a very good logo for Outback Steakhouse with its brand new slogan, no pee,
no
just
pee.
Poop. No good pee. On you, Nikki. Cheers.
Good on you. Cheers.
Very rarely do, I'm kind of a more like laugh to myself sort of person, so very rarely do I laugh very much out loud when I'm on my phone, but I did laugh out loud when I heard that, and then that obviously made Ashley be like, wait, what's actually so funny that you're laughing? And then I embarrassingly had to show her the logo of Don't Pee, Don't Poop, and she just looked at it, she just rolled her I was like, all right.
All right, fair enough.
I don't need to listen to your
That's
other podcast.
That's why I listen to Dungeons and Daddies, but not Story Break.
This is where the premium Australian Outback, no piss, all poop.
You Story Break fans are the original fans of our podcast bullshit. So this one's for you. Nice one.
Nice.
Crack open a Frosty Fosters. All right.
No pee, just poop.
Thanks as well to Mitchell Burton for tweeting at us a very cool, like super badass logo for the Heaven Police Department.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Very, very stylish. So thanks you very much to Mitchell for that. And that'll do us for the fan out this week.
I just really enjoy the idea of like a angel intern like being told that he's got to come up with a logo for this angel
now
police
here's
force.
Here's Photoshop.
I'll say Mitchell also had a really cool idea about how people become cops in heaven, which is maybe if your soul is pure enough, like you're offered a job at the HPD, the Heaven Police Department. Thanks very much to Nikki. Thanks as well to Mitchell.
Thanks very much to MaximumFun.org, our podcast network, home of great podcasts such as this one, home of the Outback Steakhouse.
Home of the Bloomin' Story Onion.
The Bloomin' Story Onion.
What if we replace the story circle with a Bloomin' Story Onion?
Outback? We will do this.
We will come up
you
with
pay
a
us
400
anything.
Acts story
almost
structure.
Anything, and we will do that. Even if you ask politely, there's a chance we'd do it. At Outback Steakhouse, hit us up. Head on to MaximumFun.org for all the podcasts you will ever need. That's right. There's only podcasts on MaximumFun.org. Don't look at podcasts anywhere else.
Head over to MaximumFun.org for a sizzling shrimp platter. And a nice tall Foster's, courtesy of Jesse Thorne. Good on you, Jesse.
No, there's no beer at Outback Steakhouse because there's no pee, just poop. That's the thing. There's no liquids available at Outback Steakhouse.
All right, let's
anymore.
Put this
Moving
one to bed, boys.
Our Twitter, if for whatever reason you want to talk to us, at RJ Story Break, Outback Steakhouse. That's how you can contact us on Twitter. Our Facebook group, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB, where there's a discussion threads going on, and also
you can find Outback Steakhouse on Twitter at Outback on Twitter,
and please tweet them no pee just poop.
Yeah, they'll love that. Here's the worst part.
Can
about,
you imagine
listen,
if
we're
the
not a big podcast?
Manager.
No, stop. We're not a big podcast. So like when a big podcast like My Brother Me does something, they notice. Like when big boys on the internet do something, like those brands will actually notice and send something because the manager's like, ah, cool, we're getting mentioned here. When us chuckle fucks do something, it's just someone in the middle of nowhere being like, what the fuck's going on here? Eh, whatever.
Hey, you know what they say? You know what they say, though, guys? Tweet like the podcast you want to become, not the podcast you are.
Also,
we're a podcast that harasses known brands with bad slogans for their food.
I don't think you need that many people to tweet no pee, just poo at a person for them to take notice. I think after like the second person does that, you're like, what's going on?
And the best part is they'll never know. They'll never know. Anyway, thanks very much for listening.
They do have a steak and unlimited shrimp deal going on right now at Outback, so get over there and enjoy your steak and shrimp.
Are we
going
to go to Outback for lunch today?
No. I have kind of an Outback craving.
All right, you guys can go.
All right. Well, we'll figure that one out on our time, but your time is valuable, so thanks for listening. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold, young, dumb, and full of max fun.
Oh, my God.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.